Hello, this is Mole speaking, sometimes known as Miranda Morris. Today is the 30th of May 2018, and this is the 811th Mole Out Loud podcast. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning, very crisp and blue. And actually, where I was starting, there were just a few little fluffy white clouds. But now I can see the mountain. There's a huge, still fluffy and white cloud that's climbing up the mountain. And quite quickly, it's going to obscure it. So the top is really clear against the blue sky. And then there's this cloud taking it over, and I think rain is forecast from lunchtime, but at the moment it is perfect walking weather, and that's where I am. I'm heading up Poets Road towards Knocklofty. As you know, this is the weather that I feel really alive in, and my feet take me before my mind has even realised it. I've just got to the bottom of Knocklofty, and I'm looking at the trees that have gone. Well, we're looking at the trees that have gone. I'm looking at the absence of a couple of trees. Mainly, there was this very beautiful, very, very old Banksia that was at the beginning of Poets Road. And I think it had been partially damaged by the original storm a couple of weeks ago. But last week it dropped its limbs onto a fence and a garage, and they're looking very, very dented. So it had been partially lopped after the storm 2 weeks ago, and now it's been completely cut down. So a bit sad, because it was a very beautiful marker to the beginning of my walk, and it's not there anymore. But the oak is still standing. There's a gum tree that's down that they've just cut the middle out of so that the path is clear. But still. Well, certainly the main path is the devastation. Oh God, sorry. Very speedy dog. Gave me a bit of a fright. Oh dear, well that's terrible. Yes.
Hello. Morning.
How are you?
Much energy.
Yes, I wish I had it. It is a very, very, very bouncy dog, and its pet toy is a crocodile. And I was so intent on the podcast, actually, even if I hadn't been, I suddenly heard this big rustle in the bush, and it leapt out. This used to be my secret track up here. Nobody else would be on it, but now it's become a bit of a thoroughfare, so I can no longer pretend that I'm not going to see anybody on it. And because of the winds a lot of the smaller trees that screened this path from the main path have gone. So it's all quite exposed. I am glad that this track, this little track, it's the first bit of the uphill, has not had too much land slippage, because it might have just disappeared. And it's so much nicer than the main track. And it goes from the beginning of Poets Road up about half the first part of the hill to the lookout, and avoids the steepest bit of slippery path. And actually at the moment I would say this path is probably quite a lot safer. There are great cavities on either side of the path, the main path. I haven't been up here since last week. I came a couple of times, but my walking friend, or one of my walking friends, one I go very regularly with up twice a week, has hurt her leg, so we haven't been up here together, and I haven't been so up as much on my own. I think because I do have this sense of urgency about my writing at the moment. I'm trying to get a rough first draft written by September, when I'm doing a novel self-editing course with Emma Darwin, and there's not much point in editing your novel if you haven't written it. So I'm more on the case than I usually am. So while I was planning to walk every day up here, or was walking every day up here, I think I'm now going to make it whenever the day really calls to me, as it has today. Which means that next week I'll probably be doing quite a lot. The forecast for next week is sort of frosty and clear. I'm now on the new secret track, where I haven't actually ever met anybody, only wallabies, and I can see the mountain again. I lose sight of it from about halfway up Poets Road, and then catch sight of it here, and I was fully expecting it to be entirely obscured by the cloud that I could see rising when I came up from Poets Road. And it's completely clear, it's completely clear, but there's a really big cloud overhead now. I think probably the same cloud. And it's not fluffy and white, it is definitely grey, definitely grey. So we'll see how I go at the moment. It's still quite cold. I hardly ever find myself at this part of my walk still wearing my hat and gloves. And I've just removed my gloves so that I can stop and start the podcast properly. And I might move my hat, but not quite yet. Last night at the cave, it was quite crowded. We had almost more people than spaces. Luckily, I'm the most antiquated person there, and there's one seat that I find sufficiently ergonomic to work from. But there were a couple of much younger, less stiff people who were happy to kind of lounge about on low chairs with their laptops. And we nearly ran out of chocolate. So it's becoming more popular, and I think if it continues to grow, they're going to have to get a new table or find some other way of managing it. It's Island Magazine that's been organising it, and they've also been organising these silent reading parties, and the first one, I can't actually remember the numbers, but they've grown, and the last one, I think there were 50 people turned up, and would have been quite a challenge to the hosting bar and restaurant, except they had a big space at the back. They had two spaces, in fact. But they've closed down, and so now the silent reading party is going to try different locations, but trying to find a location that's comfortable and would have enough seats to accommodate all these readers is going to be tricky. There are going to be some that maybe can manage 30 or so, and I certainly don't want to be turning people away at this point. Apparently, last time people were turning up an hour early in order to get a seat. When I say an hour earlier, the bars or cafes are open at that time, and the silence starts at a particular time. So they might come in and have a meal or a drink beforehand, and then start reading, but with a seat. So that's growing too. It's really interesting to see this burgeoning of reading and writing. I'm realizing a bit that there needs to be the larger the group, the stricter the silence really needs to be. There's one chap who does like chatting, and it's a whispered chat, but that doesn't really help the distractibility. So, and also, if it's a smaller group, there are fewer people who are likely to engage. But most people have their own music, come with earphones. And perhaps I need to do that too. I do at the cafe if I find myself next to a table with a distracting conversation next to me. I used Noisely, the app Noisely, and it's very, very effective and simple. So perhaps that's my best way of dealing with this thing. I think I'd have been much less distractible earlier in my life. Well, I think I've mentioned this before. I think that pre-internet, I was I had a much better focus on my writing. I don't think it's my age. I think it's the changing technology that has altered this. Gosh, I'm looking at that cloud. It's certainly becoming quite serious. Although if I look behind me, there's still a little bit of blue sky, but it's not the direction I'm heading in. So onwards, I think I need to move, otherwise I'm going to not get back before it decides to express itself differently. I seem to have stepped on somebody's territory here. I'm just wondering where the boundary line is, where, at what point. I wonder if they realise that they have domination over the air and that I'm not about to levitate and challenge them where they are. One of the nice things about this morning is that there don't seem to be any trucks. So it's, apart from those ravens, there isn't any human racket. I mean, apart from those ravens. Apart from those ravens, there is no racket. And not human either. Forecast after today looks as if it's going to be really beautiful, like the earlier morning, really crisp and clear and not windy. But I won't be walking for the rest of this week because I'm heading for the north of the island, which will be cooler at night. It's at the confluence of three rivers and it does get frosty at night. It's a bit inland too, unlike Hobart. And I shall be grandparenting for a couple of days. I haven't been up there for quite a while, and since I last went, they've moved into this little house. It really is little, I'm not quite sure. where they're planning to put me. And so it'll be a totally new environment to explore. Ooh, there's quite a wind coming in here. I'm not sure whether I'm shielding properly or not. I think I might need to pause here. I'm now back to where I started on this walk, or nearly back to it, and you can hear a digger or something like that in the background. And actually what we can see is the tree being taken away. It's the Banksia. Hello again. It's late afternoon and it's very grey and it's pretty chilly, and I've just been to the shop, the post office, which has new people in it, to get a few bits and pieces, and I'm on my way home. I'm going to put on a pot of tea. I've got a friend coming round to have a pot of tea with me instead of going for a walk, and so I've just been getting a few provisions. I got some biscuits from the cafe where I've just been doing a bit of work, and I think it's a ginger tea day. So that's what's ahead of me tonight. I do hope that you've had a good day today, that you've been able to engage with whatever's most important to you, that you've been able to enjoy bits of the world, enjoy either the nature outside, being in it, or being inside and looking out. I'm just passing a garden and there are very few flowers out at the moment, but this garden has got, well, apart from lavender, it's got some lovely cornflowers. All colours of cornflowers, not just the blue, but pinks and pale blues as well, and white, and even a few dahlias. Mine is quite interesting at the moment because it's showing signs of spring and there are some buds, tight little buds on the Daphne, and this morning when I was walking on Loch Lofty, I picked some bits of wattle from a tree that had fallen over, and it had really tight buds on it, lots and lots of really tight buds. So I brought some, I was going to say branches, but I think twigs would be a better description, some twigs of it home, and I'll see whether they might even flower with water. No matter if not, but it seems such a pity to have this whole tree lying on the ground with all these flowers that weren't going to happen. So it's blossom. Gosh, it's noisy here. I guess school's out and and I'm in the middle of the road. And that was pretty unnecessary really, but so be it. So be it. Someone was being impatient. Sorry, I thought I'd better get out of the way. But actually, someone who witnessed that honking was just saying how outrageous it was, because he'd come racing round the corner and I was crossing a little side street. The car, I mean, had been racing around the corner. And really could have waited for a second until I'd crossed the road. There's no way I could have seen him. But so be it. I guess I'm not probably concentrating as much as I might be if I were not podcasting. Oh, a cold breeze now as well. So, thank you very, very much for listening. I'm looking forward to my tea, and I really look forward to talking to you again tomorrow when I'm on the road. Not the same road.